the world commemorated World Food Day on October 16th, a day set apart by the United Nations to promote awareness on hunger and action for the future of food, people, and the planet. Now, this year, World Food Day is being celebrated under the theme, or was celebrated under the theme, Water is Life, Water is Food, Leave No One Behind. But it is never too late to talk about this topic, as South Sudan, in South Sudan, many people face this crisis and even worse levels of hunger. Well, UN Food and Agriculture Agency in South Sudan will celebrate the day tomorrow in Torit in Eastern Equatorial State. And that is why we are being joined in by Meshack Malo, FAO Country Representative, John Taban, ADRA Country Director, and Mary Benjamin is the Director General for National Food Reserve, National Ministry of Agriculture. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, viewers, and what a pleasure to be back to Radio Mirai.
Right. You're most welcome. Now, as I've mentioned, the official date was on the 16th, but it is never too late to talk about the topping and also having to, recognize World Food Day. Meshack, just tell us more about what will be happening in Eastern Equatorial State.
Yeah, over the past 4 years, together with the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, the Food and Agriculture Organization, made the decision to decentralize the celebrations of the World Food Day. So each and every year we pick a state, and we've been going around the states, and we are privileged that this year the celebrations are going to be in Torit. Mm. So this is a good opportunity to take these celebrations to the people, so that we always don't do everything in Juba.
Right.
So that's basically the main aim of taking it to Torit. But for sure, the people of Torit do deserve also to have this day celebrated there.
Right. Now, Mama Mary Benjamin, to have a refresher, what is World Food Day?
Thank you very much for having me here. World Food Day is a day that is celebrated just simply to know more about food.
Mm.
Yeah, because food is life, food is everything, so it's called World Food Day just
right.
Because of that.
It's right. Don't people know about food? Why do we need a day for food?
We need a day to think about it thoroughly, to really elaborate, to think seriously, and to educate people about food. Not only food, because you can just have food, but to have the nutritive food value
right.
For life.
Right. Thank you so much. Now, John Taban, well, you work with ADRA, and I'm sure that you're involved in working with the community. How would you describe the food situation in South Sudan?
Well, thank you. Surely the food situation, as it is known all over the country, has always not been a good one. And that is why there are quite a number of interventions, those that are emergency related, as well as those that are focused towards training people on sustainable agriculture.
Mm.
And of course, this includes children that are also going to school, and they are targeted towards in terms of school feeding programs in nutrition. This is a requirement, actually, I said now.
Right. Right. Thank you so much. Now, Meshack, I'm about to ask you about what is the best way for South Sudan to conserve water. But again, what is the relationship between water and food?
Yeah, at the end of the day, we need water to be able to raise food. That's why wherever there is no rain, there is a lot of concern about water. You may just know that at the end of the day in the world, agriculture in general consumes about 70% of all the water. And so agriculture is requires water, but is also a part of the solution. So water is a very, very important component. That's why when it doesn't rain, everyone begins to get concerned about food.
Right.
So water is a very, very important component in the agriculture system.
Right, and it being an important component, so what is the best way to conserve water in South Sudan?
First of all, in South Sudan, is a matter of actually using that water. If you compare South Sudan as a country, and you look at the region, countries like Eritrea, countries like Djibouti, they are really water scarce.
Mm.
There is just scarcity of water. So South Sudan, this is one commodity in which we have to be very grateful to God that it's flowing, you like the River Nile, we are actually moving with it. From here, people go to Bor, people go to Renk through the water system. You go to countries like Djibouti, you have to dig even up to 100 so many kilometers down to get the water. So South Sudan in that way, it's a blessed country with water. So it's a matter of how do we use this water. Secondly, sometimes the water is too much. That's why there's the flooding.
Right.
We're talking about the Jonglei draining and all that. So we are fortunate in that way that we are not water scarce. However, we have some areas like in Kapweta. Those areas tend to be water scarce. But a majority of the country is in slightly a good situation when we compare with other countries in the region.
Right. Now, Mama Mary, from the National Ministry of Agriculture, what are some of the plans that you have to ensure that you boost the food security of this country?
Well, the plans are really to use the master plan, which is in the ministry, to ensure that there's implementation at the state level, because the state's people are the implementers, we are the policymakers. We need the policies to be endorsed first to enable everybody to work freely, because there are so many sabotages along the chain, the value chain. So if we embark on the value chain itself, we will be able to produce, because the value chain takes care of every steps in agriculture.
Right.
The moment you lose one step, you lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, I'm in charge of food reserve. I don't get any food, actually. It doesn't reach me. Simply because of so many reasons that has caused that. So it's a big problem. So we need really to work in the value chain, because it's the one that governs everybody at their production up to marketing.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you project in bridging that gap of the food not getting to your department?
Well, this is a political will. We need to give it back to the policymakers. They're the ones who can say, let's stop, especially the war that is going on in the country. Not the war, but insecurity that is ongoing in the country. It's the one actually that really sabotages all the implementations, because there's no freedom of movement.
Right.
And the farmers have all fled to neighboring countries, which they are not supposed to. So you can imagine. There's very scarce little food that is produced in some few areas which are food which are having no insecurity. So there's not enough food, no surplus for us to take to other hunger-stricken areas that are in parts of South Sudan. People who are not able to cultivate like this. The northern, towards the north, those are Nilots. They keep cattle. They actually know how to cultivate things. So they are coming up with the knowledge, the capacity building that the partners are giving us. They are becoming to know, because you can use irrigation, you can plant something even in the desert.
Right now, still with you, Mama Mary, speaking about policies, this policy where every Friday people, mostly civil servants, were advised to work half day to have time to attend to their gardens, has that yielded anything?
No, it has done that in Juba, around the outskirts of Juba, because we have seen the differences between the food that is coming from neighboring countries and the food that is produced here by the farmers. Only that they are reduced to, you know, carrying it sometimes on their heads, you know. There's no proper help to them. Actually, we need to embark to help them by carrying this food, maybe using vehicles to the markets. And they sometimes feel discouraged, since the neighboring countries are producing a lot, exporting to us a lot of fresh food. So they get discouraged. They're feeling that they're defeated. So it's a big problem, really.
Right.
You need to work hard as a ministry to ensure that we have our own production.
Right. Thank you so much, Mary. Now, John Taban, coming to you. Like you earlier alluded, that the hunger or the food situation in South Sudan is worsening. And, of course, we are all aware that South Sudan is facing serious hunger crisis. Do you think farming is the answer to this?
Well, as we all know, actually, food is the first thing, the basic need of life. And, of course, I would say that definitely there is that need to actually scale up agricultural activities. In the background of ADRA from the beginning, we were more of a health-related organization, we moved to education, but now we are realizing actually you can't do many of these things without food on the table. Even the children who go to school, they can't attend school if there is no food. And so the focus actually now should be, as we do, to actually empower the local communities in terms of knowledge, in terms of tools, and then the seeds that they require at the time. And very interestingly, we are for Ezadra, we are also now actually promoting climate smart agriculture. For example, in those dry places like Tonj, we have not done yet in Kapoita, but actually we have done something a little bit in Kapoita, but I will talk of Tonj, where we are promoting, we have introduced rice production. And because there are other places that are being flooded every year. And then we have also introduced cassava, growing. Those are places initially that these things are not there, especially among the pastoral communities.
Right.
And so we did it in a sense that when it is flooded, then the rice would work. And then when it is drought, the cassava and sweet potatoes becomes resilient. They are resilient to drought. So it is something that we cannot really talk about. It is very urgent, and it requires a lot of resources that should go down there. The community need to be oriented, because some of our communities in South Sudan are not used to actually the farm. And this is what we are trying to promote, that look, it is not only livestock. We also need to be, in even in a little way, you can complement.
Right.
And of course, we know many times that actually even those livestock, the animals, we don't make use of them for food. And so this alternative in some other places becomes very important. I can go back to what my sister here has mentioned. Actually, people need space so that they can practice agriculture. There would be no... South Sudan is endowed with a lot of good land that can be cultivated. Like my fellow colleague from FAO have said, there is a lot of water that is just doing nothing, almost being wasted. If we have a space for people to move freely, and they have that opportunity of not being disturbed, they can work in their farms, they can go after their cattle, then food will be ensured in this country.
Right. Thank you so much. And it's just 27 minutes past 8 a.m. In case you just joined us, we are speaking about the World Food Day that was commemorated on the 16th, but South Sudan will be having lead commemorations, and that will be happening in Eastern Equatoria State. And with me in the studio, representative from FAO, that is Meshack Malo, FAO country representative, and John Taban is from ADRA, and he's the ADRA country director, and Mary Benjamin is the director general for National Food Reserve, National Ministry of Agriculture. Now, Meshack, because we'll be going in to the news headlines in just 2 minutes, you said that it's about time that the celebrations go to Eastern Equatoria State. Just give us a snippet of how the program will be like.
Yeah, in Eastern Equatoria, we are actually combining. There will be the celebration tomorrow, followed by 2 days agricultural show. Eastern Equatoria is one of the states that has really improved in terms of food security. Although up to last year, only one state, which is Western Equatoria, had above 100%. That means that they had enough. Eastern Equatoria now is hitting almost 92. So it means that if it just pushes a bit, it's going to be able to have its own food. So we will be having the Minister of Agriculture and Food Security, Honorable Josephine Lagu. We're going to have the Minister of Livestock and Fisheries, Honorable Adigo Nkwach. And so the celebrations are going to be there. And we also have a number of ambassadors, Ambassador of Norway, Ambassador of Netherlands, that are going to be at that event. But importantly, that day and 2 days after that is going to be an agricultural show where the farmers can share and show what they are growing and the challenges that they are having.
Right. How many days will the show go for?
So the show is going for 2 days.
Ah, 2 days.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Meshack, you were still telling me about the agriculture show that will be taking 2 days. But what is the main goal of this program?
The main goal of this project program is that farmers at that local level are able to share their experiences by themselves when they see and discuss the challenges that they are having, and more so in an agricultural show, people are able to see the opportunities. In one of them last year, we were able to do the, for instance, with livestock, the milking competition. And it was very good to see even those who thought that their cows sort of were giving a lot of milk, to see that they were maybe doing 1.5. And then you realize that another farmer has about 3-4 liters. And so you are able to discuss even just in vegetable production, they're able to see new vegetable crops.
Right.
We have the private sector that is coming in with seeds. And so this is just a new way of farmers really, those involved in the trade, sharing and being able to see the produce.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you so much. Now, Mama Mary, with the climate change heating the world, we all know about this. We can see consequences in South Sudan. We have seen floods. We've seen prolonged droughts in some of the areas in the country. Farmers in there have not realized the harvest that they expected. So how can we overcome this?
Well, the fact that it's a natural disaster that has happened, we can't control, but we'll try our level best. Like irrigation farming is important, because actually we have large irrigation farms which are not even touched yet. A few of them are touched, but most of them are not yet implemented. But we hope in the master plans, they're all in program, that we're going to do that, at least we'll serve a purpose. But then the small-scale farmers will have to be capacitated on watering their plants. And you have the Nile, the River Nile at the shore, which is really flowing, doing nothing. We are going to encourage at least the farmers in outskirts of Juba to be planting their crops along the River Nile, because they were gifted with the River Nile, actually.
Right.
And we have the largest portion of the River Nile, more than any other country, but we are not using it. There's less use of that river Nile. Mm-hmm. So we really we want to find ways, and the lands along the Nile, because those lands are owned by other people. The moment you touch it, there's a problem. But
right.
We really want to urge that everybody must really do farming to end food insecurity in this country, or to end, at least to minimize, if not ending, malnutrition that is alarming in the country.
Thank you so much. Now, Taban, just bring us to speed. ADRA, your organization, how are you working to help people probably improve their agriculture skills? I mean, what are you contributing in that regard?
We do quite a number of things. Besides training, we actually have introduced the idea of people working in groups. What is very interesting is that in Tonj and Upper Nile, where we are promoting this along the Sobat River, is that actually women rather are more active than men these days. And we group them up so that we also give them, we identify an area of land where each one, for example, if the planting of trees, fruit trees, everyone in a pool takes care of one or two as a matter of knowledge. So, and this they do through irrigation, especially during the dry season in places like Tonj, and in where they then have to water the trees. And then while in crop agriculture, we have also seen that they are working together in terms of opening up farms. We have quite a big land that has been opened for rice, especially in Tonj South. And the women are very active, doing their best in it. Some men are also getting attracted, especially now when they have surplus and they can sell. We're also promoting, how you can plant in the best way to give a good yield. You know, there is this way, the traditional way of farming and planting. We're also trying to introduce to them the new techniques of how you can plant your seeds so that you know. And then in that matter, the whole target is we want at least the participants should have food that goes to their table, and then have something also to the market to sell.
Right.
Yeah. So this is what we're doing. Yeah. I think in the... in places like Nasir and Nasir area, and then Ulang in Upper Nile, Eastern Upper Nile. We have also supported those farmers with solar-powered, pumps, where the women are actually also doing irrigation along the Sobat.
Mm.
And the results are really quite good. And they just go wildly because they are able to sell, and it's not even enough.
Right.
So, you know, we try to put those skills of how to earn income in the agriculture, how to get food enough, and then to sell some to be able to meet some of their needs that require in money.
Right. Thank you so much, Taban, for bringing us to speed. And just to conclude this interview, Meshack, what is in the pipeline for FAO? What are some of the plans that you have laid out?
No, for FAO, first is that I think South Sudan really, Sudanese really need to see the value of the food market in South Sudan. And individuals need to tap into it. When you look at countries like particularly Uganda, Kenya, how much they earn from exporting food items to South Sudan, go to their books, is not less than $500 million. Even a country like Brazil is targeting South Sudan for chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see beyond, and that's where particularly the young people who are born after 2000, now they are 23 years. This country needs them. They are not young people anymore.
Mm.
Let them look at that market value. People are targeting it. So if even sorghum, the amount of money that the country spends in buying sorghum, a few people now need to tap into this market internally. The amount of land currently being used for South Sudan for agriculture is less than 5%. So why are people targeting? And that means that in South Sudan there is money. People will buy.
Yeah.
So I think for me is that this debate needs to move ahead now with peace to the agribusiness, so that people look at agriculture as a business, and we can assure you that there is money. You can see the richest man in Africa, Angote, he's now moving away from cement and getting into food.
Right.
Because he's very sharp person. So he has already seen the money. So I want to encourage particularly the youth, because I think that's where there is a missing link now. That they need to get into this and do it as a business.
Right. Thank you so much for that eye-opener, Meshack. Mama Mary, what is your message to the people who are listening?
Okay, and my message is that actually everybody should be on board, especially the skilled farmers, especially anybody who is doing agriculture.
Right.
And we need to avail stability in this country so that there's free movement, there's free farming and everything. We need to use the water Nile for agriculture. And we also need to, as Mr. Meshack has said, we need to involve the youth. The youth in South Sudan are going astray. They have no direction, and we the elders, we who are facing away, are the ones to encourage them, and we are not doing that. So this is a dangerous situation where we will have no future in South Sudan, because there are so many things they could do. Like, there should be law enforcement on them to do farming. There are so many projects that could be done, and could be done by the youth. Secondly, they should open employment to the youth, because most of the youth graduates who are here in South Sudan are loitering.
Mm.
So as such, they tend to do evil things which are not supposed to be done. And then we encourage the politicians for the political will, because they're the ones who can say no to everything bad in this.
Right.
They can say yes to production, food production for everybody in this country. And for me, as a person, I encourage zonal farming, really. If we say let's do zonal farming, where each and every person farms what is good in his or her own place, I think we'll make a change in this country.
All right. Thank you so much, Mama Mary. Yes, John Taban, what's your message?
Well, I just would say that we, not very far from what Mary has said, we really need to engage all the communities. Everyone need to be involved, because at the end of the day, you know, the population as it grows and the number of people in the family, the consumers are many, everyone needs to get on board. And leave alone now, as my practical experience shows, that actually women are more, are working more rather. And let's get the men also involved. Let's get the youth on board. Let them work. And we need to put this spirit of farming in everyone. If that is if it is inculcated in everyone, then we are actually food secure. And that will not take too long.
Right. Yes. Well, it's just 17 minutes. Thank you so much, gentlemen and lady, for making our time to speak to us this morning. I truly appreciate it. Thank you so much.